Okay, I welcome everybody to the meeting. I give you my peace. I would like to officially welcome Jess to the team. You are so welcome. We're excited to have you. Because I'm driving, I've asked Trisus to read Father's message. So, Trisus, you're up.
All righty. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All right. Father said, "Dear team, many things have come about recently that I have opened all of your eyes to. You are slowly starting to see the souls as I see them. You are realizing that when you judge a soul, you are judging me. Many of you have even stopped yourself from entertaining thoughts that you used to harbor. Negative thoughts about your neighbors, per se, as an example. I'm very proud of all of you. You are growing into the guardians I need you to be. What should I talk about? Let's see. For over 3 years now, we've been having these monthly meetings. Each meeting contains something different, something timely. In the past, some of you took these meetings for granted. You did not really appreciate what was being discussed. Well, now all of you do not take anything for granted. You now feel the sense of urgency that is pushing all of you to help complete the task that I gave to my son. And no, it is not an insurmountable task. It can be handled and completed by the correct number of souls I have chosen. Yes, you are all the number, you are numbered amongst the group of souls. I know at times you feel that you are ineffective, that maybe you do not make much of any kind of difference. May I tell you that love is quiet, it is peaceful, and it is patient. The lives you touch at times will not show anything within the moment you share with them, but in time, it will show itself. Some of those you spend time with are so lost and have such a broken faith that they are not even aware of the fact that you are healing them and that you are caring them to me. I'm sorry. I'm going to read that sentence over. Some of those that you spend time with are so lost and have such a broken faith that they are not even aware of the fact that you are healing them and you are carrying them to me. And you will continue to help them no matter how long it takes. And you simply do this because you love me and their soul. Oh, there is so much more that is coming where all of you will be the difference in so many lives. You really have no idea. Can you now see why I have put you all through the tests that you have all overcome? All of you now can relate to every soul that will cross your path, and I will personally engineer these souls' life and path of faith to cross yours when the next time is right. We do not have much time left. My son will be announced by the Chief Apostle next June. Yes, I will make sure this happens. The Apostle Orlovsky has been struggling with the idea of who my son is for a very long time. Time is of the essence. I will now have to complicate his life to bring him around to have a discussion with Triland. No, I will not hurt him. I am merely going to encourage him to have the conversation I wanted him to have a year ago. Now wait and watch. Please pray for Carl's strength and understanding. The team is now almost complete. We have room for one more guardian, and then the team is complete. Pray for Lightstream. I have been moving her heart to accept my son's offer to come back and be part of this wonderful team. I will continue to move the hearts of the entire planet to accept my son next year. I would encourage all of you to pray the same as well. Together we will bring the bride home. Be strong, be vigilant, and be courageous. I will continue to give you strength through the body and blood of Jesus. It is very important that you are in the services from this point forward. And yes, even though I know some of you struggle with certain ministers and some of the, I will call, shenanigans that take place in the congregation, it does not negate the fact that you need to have your sins forgiven and receive the Holy Communion. I am very aware of everything that is going on within the church. My son and I have had conversations about some of the things that I would like to see changed. Everything in time. For now, please be patient with your brothers and sisters. They do not know as much as you do. All of you will teach them about what you know currently, and what is to come in the future. Please know I love you and support all of you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Trisus,
so
if you can take
you don't
a few.
Have any more tests?
Go ahead. What? No, that's not what he said. Yes, please,
Quasar.
We're all golden. Nobody's going to be tested anymore. No, he said the tests he put us through. So, yeah, there's still going to be more tests. Good question. Anything else?
He said that he's been talking with you about the changes he'd like to see. Can you emphasize on that?
I can. I was with Q and Cindy this past weekend, and I actually expounded on some of these things. I will tell you that Father is not super happy with how far we've gone to the other side, where the sanctuary used to be very sacred and holy. It's now turned into a Starbucks, and it's turned into this gathering place where everybody talks, disrupts, where the children are allowed to make noise. Father's not pleased with that at all. So in time, I'm going to try to see if we can't get back to having the reverence and the respect that is due Father's house. It is not supposed to be this huge gathering place of socialism, which is what it's now turned into. Granted, that's what fellowships are for, but it seems to me in some of the places I've traveled that people would much rather kibitz and chat than sit in the congregation preparing their hearts for the word. And basically, Father and I agreed that the word is not the most important thing anymore. It seems to be the social networking that takes place, that everybody kind of comes and feels good that they showed up, and that is not what the intention of the service is. It is to be the most important thing in our life, and I think our members have lost what that focus is. We are not there to feel good about our faith. We are there because Father wants to teach us how to become the bride of Christ, and my responsibility is to teach everyone how to come closer to Father so that he can prepare them for when they do go. Also, the amount of work that's going to take place if they do become the bride. The chief, the apostles, they don't even discuss that really. All they pretty much say is we're going to be together with Jesus and Father for 3.5 years, and that's pretty much it. Well, I got news for you. That 3.5 years is going to be a training, teaching moment where the bride is the only one that's allowed in the chamber. The guests are not a part of that information. They'll be given some other assignment because Jesus said to me, when you got married, brother, did you take all your guests with you on your honeymoon? No. He said it is the same for us. Those guests will be given other assignments. So Father wants us to get back to the focus of what is the most important thing. And because we only get the word once a week, we should all be starving by the time we show up on a Sunday. And that's just not happening anymore. So that's kind of what Father and I have been talking about.
That's awesome to hear. In service today, Jeremiah 4 came out and it said how Jeremiah was given the words that Father gave him and he ate them.
Right.
That's how serious he took those words. And so I'm glad to hear that the happy-go-lucky neutrality aspect of everything's awesome is going to be reined in a bit to say, yeah, okay, everything's awesome, but there's a level of respect here that needs to be met. So
there needs to be a lot more respect, yes. Plus, when I do have my conversation with Orlovsky, I'm going to discuss with him a complete retraining program for all the brothers that hold offices, that they understand what their position is, that the deacons understand their job as a gatekeeper is to maintain peace in the congregation for the brothers and sisters, And if somebody is disrupting that, that is their responsibility to go and ask that member to take the child out, or if a member is making noise, to ask them to step out as well. And the biggest problem we have right now is nobody wants any conflict and nobody wants to offend anybody, but when they're not doing what is supposed to be done as a basic thing of creating peace, other members are leaving. So what are we really accomplishing here? And I know for a fact that since all these other changes have taken place in the last 10 years, more members have left the church in this last 10-year period of time than any period prior, because it's getting too lax and we don't have a focus on what's important. We will get our focus back.
Glad to hear it.
Trisis, if you could take a few minutes and let everybody know what's going on with you as far as your health is concerned, please.
Sure. I have a follow-up doctor appointment tomorrow with the doctor that saw me at the rehab center. I've had 2 weeks of in-house rehab. I've got two more. I'm going to try to go back to work this week, 4 hours a day. That's scheduled for Wednesday. And then by the end of May, 6 hours or so. Hopefully by May I'll be back full-time. I'm not bouncing back as quick as I thought. The surgery's healed pretty much, but just day to day. Yesterday was a good day. Today is a horrible day. You know, kind of guessing, hoping tomorrow's a good day because I have to walk around. But there's been some stress with just trying to find a bed and a chair and just all the nonsense of that. Apparently, the durable medical goods industry is full of people that are very deceitful, and we're experiencing that firsthand. Pray for my patients, I guess, as much as my physical body. It's been very frustrating. No one does anything they say they're going to do, and dealing with insurance companies and all that. It's great that I have no work to do, because I quite literally spend 6 to 8 hours every other day or so just on the phone trying to get that stuff done. So I appreciate the prayers. On the whole, I'm better. I feel much better than I did even before I was sick. It's just this sine wave of good days, bad days that I'm trying to get through. So everything's up mostly, and I appreciate the prayers.
You're welcome. Q, if you could give everybody an update on your house selling situation, just so everyone's aware.
Sorry, I was on mute.
That's fine.
So, our house is still for sale. It has been a long haul. They keep saying we're in a seller's market, and Satan just knocks us down all the time. Could you remember us, please? I know that it's going to happen soon, and Father has a plan for us. So just remember us if you would. Thank you.
Welcome. Lightstar, are you on the call?
Yes.
Can you tell us if Brad got his job?
Yes, he did. He had a job within 2 weeks. Ooh. And
fantastic.
They were going to start him out just over $1 less than what he was making at the previous company. And so he went back to them and said, you know, can I at least make what I was ending at? They did that for him. The insurance
Wonderful.
Is better. We get vision and dental, which we didn't have before.
Sweet.
He started, and he started at the very last bit of their quarter. So he gets the same bonus that everybody else in the company gets.
Wow.
And he spent the last
Sweet.
2 weeks training down in the actual factory apartment. So they make all their engineers do every single job that every person in the company does before
Awesome.
They even get to do stuff in the engineering department, which he told me last week. He's like, I cannot wait to be able to sit at a desk.
Awesome. Who's he working for?
It's OMT Vail. They make office furniture.
Oh.
And they make the tables that stand, they raise, so that you can be sitting or you can be moving around and up while you're working and to have a better work environment. They also make a lot of things for, I can't think of the name of the company, but they make a this other company that they're making supplies for, make stuff for IKEA.
Oh, cool.
So, but they actually had to create a new position to be able to pay him more, and that's they went ahead and did that. And so it's been a huge blessing. He's still in Holland, and the company is right across the street from his previous company. You can see it from the driveway.
That's so awesome.
But other than that, everything has been really good, and it's been a huge, huge blessing. And we're really excited. He's very excited about the company. It's on an upswing right now. They're growing immensely. They just keep hiring and hiring and hiring because they're growing so much. So getting into the company at this point is huge.
Wonderful.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Please give him our love and congratulations.
I will.
Awesome.
All right. Okay, I am back in a swing of meditating on a regular basis, and I have come to find that just before I start to meditate, if I also ground my aura, I am able to concentrate a little bit more. Yesterday I had to hold a class, so prior to holding the class, there was a little bit of disruption taking place where I was. So what I did was I made my POG shield opaque, which means I made it a light blue and a white so that you couldn't actually see through it. And by doing that, I cut off everything that was bothering me, and I could focus then on what I needed to take care of for myself to get ready for the class. So I would encourage all of you that if you're having difficulties focusing or even getting to the point where you can meditate, make your POG shield opaque, and it'll work. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay?
That would be just a temporary fix. You don't That would be just a temporary fix. You don't want us walking around opaque because that defeats the purpose of us being available, right?
Correct. Yes. You're just going to segregate yourself during your meditation moment so that everybody can leave you alone, that nothing can get through. But, yeah, so it needs to go back to a clear blue.
So if we're sitting at our desk and our boss walks by and we really don't want to do anything, can we go opaque?
You sure can. And you can tell him the second son of God gave you permission. And when you get fired, I don't know you. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, don't do that.
So you put the shield around your whole aura?
Correct. We didn't even go over that, Jess. But yes, you actually create a bubble of POG around your entire aura. So yesterday when we went over how to put up a separation rose, as a guardian, we get a little extra help by creating a POG shield around all of that. So you would imagine yourself sitting inside your aura, you put up your roses, and then you put the POG shield around the outside of those roses. And Dan, if you get a chance, and you can talk to Jess and walk her through how that's done, okay?
In fact, I was even thinking that this evening, Jess, if you have an opportunity, since you were given POG today, which is huge and awesome for this coming week that you have, it'd probably be important for us to talk for a little bit about that. And I know we really didn't have time when we were at church.
Okay.
So if you have some time this evening, please let me know.
All right, I will.
Okay.
Awesome.
The question I have for everybody is, did you write your letters to the chief apostle, disc apostle, and the apostle Orlovsky? I ask that this would be done by the meeting. If you have not, then I'm going to give you one more week, okay? It's important that you get this done, please. I appreciate everyone's help in doing this. We, in the last meeting, discussed placing a golden cage around the altar. Luminance, are you on the call? Luminance. Okay, apparently she didn't make it. When she was in her congregation a couple weeks ago, she was sitting in the service and she looked up at the altar and some demons actually broke through the cage, and she had some of her angels were actually repairing it as though they had tools and a blowtorch and all that, and they were repairing it. I have asked all of you as guardians that you are responsible for making sure that that cage is intact, that you check it every service to make sure it's okay. Now, when I found out this information from her, then I took it upon myself to give Stotharian instructions that he is to create a pog shield around every single altar that's new apostolic across the planet. I gave him energy out of my heart for him to create that, and he has done that. I need you to monitor that now and make sure that that shield's in place and that the gold cage is in place, that nothing foreign gets in there. And then this morning when I was in Holland, HS was behind the altar before the service, and he was inside the pog shield, so he pushed his hands against it and screamed, "Ah, I'm trapped." So I knew it was still there. So please be vigilant and pay attention to that. I don't want anything breaking into there and playing on man's ego. We don't want to go back to where it was. And I made the comment to Luminance that, and I say this to all of you, if you pick up on something or you see something on a local basis and it's out of the ordinary, could you please let me know? Because if Satan is doing it in your congregation, he for sure as heck is doing it someplace else as well. And I want to get ahead of it before it becomes an issue. Okay? Atmos had an issue with his healing angel. I know that sometimes it's confusing as to what purpose all of our team plays, and I will tell you that you have a healing master who facilitates your healing with you, but you can also ask your healing angel to help heal you when you're not feeling well at different times. But your healing angel that's with you now is probably going to be used more in the future, where you and I become even more active, then you will instruct that healing angel to go help certain people that you come in contact with, because it will get to a point where you and I are physically healing people to prove to them who we are, that we stand in Father's name, just like Jesus did in his time. Those same things are going to happen in our time, so that is why you have a healing angel. But Atmos also had another experience that I asked him to share with the team. So, Atmos.
The day after I got my new healing angel, actually Triland told me after I dispatched the last one, go see Father. He will make a new healing angel for you that you won't have to worry about anymore. So meditated, I believe it was on a Saturday. I got that new angel. And then the next day, Sunday, as I was sitting in service, she actually introduced me to the lead angel that my lead angel put in place at the church grounds. His name is Octavius, and he controls the church grounds and all the other angels there and kind of keeps tabs on things while I'm not physically there or spiritually there. And then she also introduced me to the lead healing angel because I've given standing orders that everyone that sets foot on the property is to receive both a healing and a counseling angel. The one that does that for the healing angel, her name is Angelica. So my team and I have been, I've been meditating, I've been trying to learn more and more about kind of who is there and who's working and who's doing what and kind of how things are going. So I haven't had any new updates since the first introductions, but I know more is coming. So
that's wonderful.
Wait, who is Angelica? I'm sorry, I got into a bad sound for a second.
Angelica is the lead healing angel that's on the premises at the church. She assigns all healing angels to all individuals that set foot on the property.
Oh, at your congregation. Gotcha.
Yep.
Which church is this? Where at?
This is the Portage congregation, which is in Kalamazoo.
Okay. Something that everybody needs to know: before I got on this conference call, I meditated, and an angel's name came to me, and it was actually Angelico. So, you know, minor difference, but I don't know what that means. It really did happen, so.
Okay, yeah. We can talk about it a little later if you want.
And welcome to the team.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
See? Yeah.
I swear, it's the craziest thing, actually. hearing
this is all crazy
name.
Stuff.
Oh, that ain't crazy. It ain't nothing, honey.
Yeah. You ain't seen crazy yet.
it's really
crazy is yet to come.
Thank you for sharing,
wait,
both
Harland,
of you.
Wait, can we ask Knife a question?
Yeah. Yeah.
So with this angel that is assigning healing angels, how does that work? Because I know when we give healings, we're supposed to ask somebody if they would like to receive a healing or to go into their space. So can you clarify that process?
Sure. Atmos has just taken it upon himself to ask this healing angel that if he knows that someone's ailing in some way or struggling with a health issue, that this angel will assign to this person help. And as guardians, the reason why I had him share this with everybody is you all have that right to do that. It doesn't necessarily have to be your own angel that you send to help somebody. You can ask her now to assign anybody that comes across your path that you feel is hurting in some way, whether it's a spiritual hurt, whether it's a physical hurt or a mental issue, you can ask that a healing angel is assigned to this person to help them go through the process of healing. It's completely separate from an energy healing, okay? I don't want that to be confused that they're actually getting an energy healing or that we're actually facilitating something for them. That is not what's happening.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's super helpful. And I don't know if it's just because my cell phone was in a bad area. I may have missed some things. So are we to go – so his Angelica is for his congregation. Are we to go to Giselle and ask
no,
for –
No, you can ask your own healing angel.
Okay.
Yeah,
ask
so
your healing angel. Go ahead.
Yeah, brilliant. My new healing angel that is assigned to me, her name is Teresa. And she is the one who introduced me to the lead angel, Octavius, who is the lead angel when I'm not around that takes care of the grounds. And then Angelica is the lead healing angel that takes care of assigning healing angels to individuals as they come to the process.
Oh, thank you. Sorry to make you repeat yourself. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
No, it's okay. Any other questions on that? Okay. Last month, Aerostar had the privilege of going to hell, and I said to everyone, if you haven't had the chance, don't get disappointed. I'm sure we're all going to get the opportunity. Well, Q had the opportunity, so he'd like to share that.
Okay, thanks. Well, actually, when he says, I'd like to share that, it's going to be a little bit embarrassing, this first part, because what I have found since I am now in my own business and I'm actually not getting in my car and driving to a location, that if I don't ground myself and do my dailies as I'm in bed, when I get up, I'm off and gone. So, as one morning I woke up and I said, good morning, Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I hope you have a great day. What do you have planned for me today? And then I prayed a little more, and then I grounded myself and went through everything. Well, when I got into the center of my mind, I noticed that, well, I'll put it this way. I thought I saw Archangel Michael in front of me, and, of course, you question. You go, okay, what is he doing there? And I go, crap, what's going on? And so I looked, and it was him, and I said, okay, could you give me a minute? I'd like to get a cup of coffee. So I got up, and I went to get my cup of coffee. And so when Cindy got home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we sat down to talk about our days. And as I was talking, I said, oh. And I told her what happened. And I never went back to see Michael. And she basically reprimanded me. And, you know, so none of you have to, okay? So then... And I just said, okay, fine, I got to go. So, of course, I got into the center of my mind, and he was there. And I said, and then I realized that I didn't have to ask him what was going on. He was standing where Ezekiel, who is my counseling angel, usually stands when he's right in front of me. And I realized that he was gone, and he'd been captured. And Michael said, okay, I'll take him, and let's go. So I said, okay, team, let's go. And I take my sword out. Michael takes his sword out, and we start going down. and down and down and down. We're just kind of like running down this corridor, and it's getting darker and darker and colder, and I know, okay, this is it. You know, Lazar's been here a lot of times. I haven't yet. I'm on my way. And so I get down there, and when it stops going down and we're going for a long ways, then it levels out, and then we kind of stop, and I look out, and I absolutely see nothing. It is pitch black. And so I just pause, and then it kind of lights up, and then things scatter, you know, these creatures. And I realized, especially the way that I was feeling, that it was Satan's army of souls, and they are souls, we know, but they're deformed, and they're dark, and they look like little, and Cindy says gremlin, because when I tried to explain them, that's what the name she came up. And they're like that. And so I paused and kept going forward, And then I realized that I paused enough to be able to see that there was a big black metal cage, and Ezekiel was bound in the bottom of that cage. So then I said, okay, let's go. And then I started running toward it, pausing, and then swinging my sword. And I know there were casualties, but I don't know how many were killed. But I needed to get to them. So then I got there, and I'm standing in front of this cage, and I paused, and nothing happened. And I thought, oh, crap. Then I took my sword, and I swung at it with everything I have, and it just clinked off. And I thought, really? What's going on? And so then it came to me, pog, swing your sword, and call your name. And that's what I did. And it destroyed it. And then I went to Ezekiel, and he was bound, so I cut his binds, and he was limp. And so I just grabbed him, threw him under my arm, and I said, let's go. And as we're going, I'm swinging my sword as we go, and everybody's behind me. Michael's in front of me, leading the way. And we start on our incline, and I thought to myself, no, they can't just do this and get away with it. So I said, stop, let's go back. We just came back, flat part, and I took a leg bolt, and I threw it. And it landed, and everything lit up in that area, and everything there just scattered. And, you know, it was kind of funny looking, because it was just like they were just screeching and just scattering. So we claimed that area for Father, for us. And so then I said, okay, now let's go. And we went up, and up. And then when we got back, I was in my office. I was sitting in my chair. I opened my eyes, and I thought, okay, I've been there. I don't think I need to go again.
Never say never.
I know. It's going to happen. I know.
Hey, you know what they say, once you go,
it's easier to go back.
Unfortunately.
Yep. Okay, thank you for sharing that. A couple weeks ago, when I had my birthday, I was flying out to Canada to spend time with the Horns, and Michael came and got me. He took me into the chamber, and Father made it a big deal. I was presented with a lot of gifts. Stotharion, my lead angel, actually gave me a gift known as the Amulet of Light. And I kind of looked at him funny, and I said, what's this about? And he said, in the future, you will come into a situation where it is so be able to see what is going on. This amulet will help you see what is going on. So he draped it across my neck. Many of my family members Eternity came forward and presented gifts. Al Capone and a lot of celebrities presented some gifts. I'm not supposed to share that. Okay. Anyway, so at the end of all the gifts being presented, then Father leaned forward looking around like something was missing, and he threw his hands up and went, where's the cake? We got to have cake. And so this huge cake fills the entire chamber, and it is just one big bonfire. There are so many candles on this thing that it's so bright, it was too much. And I stepped down in front of it, and Father looks at me and he goes, well, you got to blow out your cake, boy. And I looked at him like, are you nuts? There's no way I can blow this thing out. And I stared at him, and he looks at me and he goes, oh. He said, let's see, your natural birthday is March 18th. He said, but your spiritual birthday as supplanter is July 1st. And that happened 5 years ago. He said, so you thought that the cake should have only five candles on it. And I said, yes. And he looks at me, and he kind of gets in my face very close, and he points to his chest. He goes, what have I told you, boy? He said, the day I created your brother, Jesus, is the day I created you. And you have been in my heart that entire time. You are trillions of years old. And that is why there's all those candles on the cake. So you need to blow that out. And I just kind of looked bewildered and went, okay. So I took a big deep breath, stood in front of this freaking huge cake, and I blew as hard as I could. And as the breath left my mouth, it kind of swept across the top of the cake, and it carried all of the flames. It went out the back of the chamber. It shot into heaven. And the next thing he shows me is the earth. And this flame completely engulfs the entire planet. As it's now completely surrounding the planet, all of a sudden it explodes, and all of that energy flies into the planet and has this huge thunderclap that came out. And I kind of looked at Father, and he goes, oh, well, that's your announcement. Now the whole world knows you're coming. I went, okay, great. So I got to the airport. Andrew picked me up. He brought me to the Horns house, and I was disappointed when I saw Tom, because Tom started to look like he did 6 years ago when he was possessed. And by Saturday morning, he was so deteriorated that it was exactly like he was 6 years ago. He was curled up in the fetal position. He was choking. He was gagging. He was screaming out in pain. And I kept looking in his face over the last day and a half. And even Tranquility and I, we couldn't see anything going on. And so she ran upstairs to run energy through him. And I ran downstairs to get ready. And Andrew came down, and he looks at me and he goes, why don't you use that gift that Stotherian gave you? Maybe you can see what's going on with my dad. And I said, that is brilliant. I completely forgot I got that gift. So while I was shaving, I closed my eyes and I went in the center of my mind. I stopped shaving when I closed my eyes, just so everyone's aware. And I held up the pendant, and before I held up the pendant, Father showed me a full-length mirror, and I was standing in front of it in my full armor, and Father said, remember, this is who you are. You are my son, and you stand in my full power and authority. And all of a sudden, Satan from a distance says to me, Suppy, when are you going to come? What do you think you're going to do? And I said, I will not be provoked. So I finished shaving. I got dressed. I looked in through the pendant, and all of a sudden I saw that Tom was in hell, and he was completely surrounded by Satan's army of souls. And they do not have a demonic signature because they're not demonic. They have a different kind of signature that we can't see unless we actually have this gift per se. So I asked Stotherian to create for every one of you an amulet of light. And it is in your training room in the center of your mind. So everybody needs to meditate this week, go into your training room and find it, and put that pendant on for what's coming in the future. I ran up the stairs, and I also, in the meantime, while I was running up the stairs, told Michael and Stotherian to mass our army and meet me at the entrance of hell, and I will be there, and that they should surround Tom and protect him. When I got into the bedroom, Tom was just miserable. He was curled up in the fetal position. I asked Tranquility to put her hands on him to run energy through him. I knelt down next to him, and I put my hands on him as well. And then I went inside of him, and we were completely surrounded by all these souls. Well, I didn't want to kill any of them, so I actually created a little bit of a pog shield, and I pushed him back. And then I stood up, and I verbally said this out loud. I am the second son of God. My name is Tryland, and I stand in my Father's full power and authority in heaven, on earth, and in every realm my Father has ever created. You will stand down and leave, or I will destroy all of you. And within a second, they started attacking us. And they completely surrounded us. And I said to my angels, I don't want you killing any souls. Everyone back off. So they actually backed off. And I just started pogging, knocking them on their butts, hoping to discourage them from doing what they were doing. Well, they kept reaching around me, and they kept grabbing Tom, and occasionally they would choke him, and they would pull on his skin, and he was screaming out. And at one point, I felt Tranquility put her hand on my hand, and I felt a peace come over me, and I said, that's it. and I started taking my sword out, and I was cutting off hands, and I was cutting off arms, and they wouldn't give up. And I went, that's it. And I started pogging and killing them, and I cut their heads off. And they almost overwhelmed me at some point, and I yelled for Michael and Stotherian. I said, get in here. And they started getting in here, and they were fighting with me. One of the groups that came to wish me a happy birthday was the Realm of the Al-Qaeda. And they stood in front of me, about 200 of them, and the main man who spoke to me, his name was Hasim, and he kind of got emotional, and he said, we wanted to thank you for the prayers that you've rendered on our behalf. Because of your prayers at the last service of the departed, hundreds of us found grace, but still many more of our brothers and sisters are still in that realm. Please do not forget them. They all went down on one knee and bowed their heads to me, and he looked up at me and he said, we have done some horrible things to mankind, and we feel that the only way that we can repay mankind in some way is all of us have volunteered to fight alongside King David to keep your team safe. And I thank them. So now I'm in the middle of this battle. Things are getting really ugly. And at one point, they almost started to overwhelm us. And I said to HS, I said, I need you to go inside Tom and fill him with light because he is just miserable. So HS actually went inside Tom and illuminated him. At this time, every apostle, disc apostle, and chief apostle from eternity showed up on the Horn's back lawn. The disc apostle Wagner showed up in the bedroom, and his hands were folded and his head was bowed, so I know he was praying. And I looked outside, and that's what the other apostles were doing too. Father showed up. Jesus showed up. And it got to a point where we almost got completely overwhelmed by these souls. And all of a sudden, it was like a Lord of the Rings movie scene off the right flank of where we were. Here comes the Al-Qaeda soldiers. They ran down the hill screaming as loud as they could, and they crashed into Satan's army of souls, and they just started annihilating all of them. This entire time, Satan was off, and he was laughing. Well, at one point, he actually came closer, stepped off that cliff, and walked onto the main ground where we were at. And with a thought, I had my hand around his throat, and I lifted him off the ground, and everything came to a screeching halt. And it was dead silent. And he looked at me and went, I thought you were not going to be provoked. And I pulled him closer to me, and I looked at him and said, do I look angry? And he kind of looked down and said, no. And I pulled him closer, and I said, you will take your forces, and you will leave now. And he, with a smug comment, said, or what? And I pulled him even closer to my face, and I said, I will bind you and everything that is evil across this planet and in hell until the day my brother comes and gets his bride, because mankind does not need your help to be evil. And his whole disposition changed, and I put him down, and he turned and he motioned with his hand, and everybody walked away. I was sopping wet from head to toe, sweating like a pig, and I was beside myself after murdering and killing all these souls, that I stood up as quick as I could. I walked outside of the bedroom where the Horns have a little bit of an office space, and I stood there sobbing. Father at this point was now holding Tom in his arms, and I said to him, why would you force me to do that? And he held Tom up in his arms as though he was dead. And he said, of this is the kingdom of heaven. Of this is the bride of Christ. She is defenseless and she is helpless, and you will protect her. He said, I needed to know, boy, that you would do everything in your power to protect her. And now I know you will. Susan came out of the bedroom and she said, we're going to celebrate communion with Tom. And we went in there. And Andrew is their son, and he's a priest, and he was just a mess. Jesus stood behind him and put his hands on him. We prayed the Lord's Prayer. We heard our sins forgiven. We celebrated Holy Communion. Tranquility told Andrew to give Tom two communion wafers, so he did. Finished the prayer, and then Tom motioned for me to come in. He could barely talk still. And he said, could you please send an email to the Apostle Orlovsky, because I still feel like something's binding and holding me. I said, I sure will. And I looked at Father, and we were planning on visiting their oldest son, who's about an hour away from where they live. And I kind of looked at Father bewildered, and he said, I will stay here with Tom. and I will be with him the entire time until you come back. And I looked at the district apostle Wagner, and he said, I'm going to stay here too until he's better. I said, okay. So we went, we came back. Tom was doing better. Later that evening, Tom said, we need to go over the songs for Sunday. And I looked at him and went, with everything that's going on, you're concerned about that. And he looks at me kind of matter of fact, and he goes, why would I not be? Okay, so we sat there and we sang all the songs. I sound like a 12-year-old going through puberty, and we had a good time singing. And then it came to a point where we were just kind of sitting around and hanging, and Tom looks at me and he goes, I feel bad and I need to apologize to you. And I said, for what? And he goes, because every time you come, this kind of thing happens, and I'm really sorry that you are always put through this. And I said, are you nuts? I said, I'm the one who needs to apologize to you. I said, because every time I come up here for a weekend, Father turns this into a let's teach Triland something weekend. And he kind of looked at me and goes, I don't understand. I said, up until this point, I always thought the Bride of Christ was a tough broad. She was an Iron Maiden, and she could take care of herself, per se. I said, but Father showed me that that's not the case. I said, it brought a whole new reality to what my team and I have to do. I said, so I'm sorry that Father continues to put you through these horrible situations. And he goes, I'll go through anything, whatever Father wants. I said, you know, he can hear you. Stop talking like that. And Father piped up and he said, tell this to Tom. Tell him that never once in all these years has he ever cursed me. And I said that to Tom, and he goes, well, of course, why? I would never do that. He would know that. And I said, well, yeah, he's telling me to tell you that. He does know that. And Tom goes, I would go through it again if he wanted me to. And I said, I don't think that's necessary. We went to church the next day. After service, we went to lunch. When we got home, Tom looked at me, and he kind of pulled me aside, and he goes, something strange happened to me when I received Holy Communion. I said, what? He said, it felt like something left me, but I was not lacking anything. Does that make sense to you? And I said, kind of like a proxy of some kind? He goes, yeah. He goes, because I've done proxies for eternity. He goes, that's exactly what it was. And Father spoke up, and he said, Tom is now going to become the proxy for all of the Al-Qaeda and all the radical realms that he's been praying for years. They will receive their Holy Communion through him every Sunday. And Tom broke down a little bit, and he just kind of shook his head, and he goes, I'm not worthy of any of this stuff. And Father goes, can you do me a favor, boy? Can you let him know that he's my third favorite son? And so I looked at Tom and I said, Father says you're his third favorite son. And he looked at me and goes, what? I said, yeah. I said, that's the love my Father has for you. I said, by the way, if you're the third favorite son, that makes me the weird middle kid, and I got a problem with that. It's going to take me some time to get over it, but I'll be okay. I said, welcome to the family. And we had a very nice weekend. By the time I left, Tom was a little better. He actually drove me to the airport. Now, over the last couple of weeks, he's been getting attacked. Tranquility sent me a text on Thursday that Tom was miserable. So I got together with Michael, and I got together with King David. And I said, Tom is now your responsibility. You will keep him safe, and you will protect him. And I'm removing that responsibility from Tranquility because it's become too much of a burden for her. So they are supposed to step in and take care of him. And I have all the confidence in the world that they will, and he'll be okay. I want to point out, at one point I looked at Father and said, where the heck has Satan gotten all these souls from? And he said to me, from the day that the service for the departed was created and your brother Jesus unlocked those realms, all the souls that were willing to come to the services to receive grace and ask for forgiveness would be ushered out of those realms. But the ones who did not want to change or admit their wrong would remain in these realms. And Satan was allowed to go into these realms and talk to these souls. And he told them that if you want to leave this prison, I will remove you from the prison, but you will serve me. And that has been going on for years. And that is why he has this many. Just this week, Blazar found out that he's been recruiting the souls from the first Passover, the firstborn that were killed by the angel of death that came through back in Moses' time. They are massing an army. Blazar told me they're planning on attacking over the Passover weekend, which is next weekend. I have given instructions to put them down before that happens. I'm now looking at this situation completely different, team. I know that none of us ever wants to have to kill a soul, But I will tell you this. They have decided 100% to serve Satan. That is their choice. And they know what their end is. I'm sorry to tell you, but you may have to kill these souls. And Father said to me, I will decide whether I bring them back or not to have them judged by your brother. They have made their choices. And I will tell you that after I got done, it did leave a hole in my heart. It was not pleasant in any way, but I will tell you again, I can sleep well at night knowing the fact that we are to protect the bride of Christ and we have to do everything in our power. And even over the last couple of weeks, I would sit in that moment and remember everything that happened, and Father would quietly say, it's a cold, sobering moment, is it not, boy? The bride of Christ needs to be protected by you and the team. I said, yes, Father, I understand. So, I have given this gift now from Stotherian. It is in the center of your mind in your training room. I will ask all of you to put that on when you have a moment this week. Be on your guard. Pay attention. Make sure everything around you is safe and secure. Vet your team still. I know he's still infiltrating. He's still doing. I said to Father, you know what I feel like doing? I want to wipe out every freaking angel you ever created and have you create new ones. And he looked at me and went, we do not have that time. I went, okay. He said, this will pass. Just do your diligence. I said, okay, I'll let the team know. Does anybody have any questions?
I guess that's a lot to take in.
Yes, it is.
How's Tom doing, Tranquility, right now?
He was good for a while, but he's hit another rough patch. He could use your prayers, that's for sure. Like Trilan said, it was very sobering. I thought, I can't even describe the way that we felt. It was almost like deja vu that we've been through it before. And he still is struggling. He's got these hiccups along the way. So he could still for sure use your prayers. And if you don't mind, I could really use them too. The best way I can describe it is it feels like we've been through a war and that we haven't fully healed yet. It was very sobering. That's the best way to put it. I don't know. You can't even describe it or imagine it. Trilan did a great job in giving the recant, and I can say for sure, like, Trilan was devastated when he said, I've never had to kill a soul before, and he was just devastated. But what they were doing to Tom, and we could see it with our natural eyes, we were able to see it, that he was being tormented and tortured so much and screaming. It was unbelievable what he was going through, and the Trilan definitely had no other choice. But, we could just really use your prayers. I would appreciate it.
Trilan, I have a quick question for you. This is Atmos.
Yes.
Is it okay for Tranquility when these times, when things get rough for her over there? I mean, is it okay for when she reaches out to you, if you can, like, maybe pass the word to the rest of us and we can just kind of go and do our best spiritually to help out?
Sure can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tranquility, I would say if any time you feel overwhelmed and you need some help, please feel free to reach out at any time. And, I mean, I don't have a problem going and sitting in my truck if needs be during work and taking a few minutes out to help or whatever the case may be.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, I guess the biggest challenge is that it ebbs and flows. And so when Trilan came, what Trilan didn't tell you was he was supposed to come the night before and he missed his flight. And we were all really upset and we couldn't understand. You know, we thought, oh boy, here Satan's already, you know, starting even before he's come here. But then we realized it was at that time when he was flying the next day when he got all these gifts and when he was able to meet with Father. And so we realized it served a purpose. But usually what happens is it's not that Tom is bad all of a sudden. It there's little subtle hints. And when Trilan and I were talking on that Saturday. And he said, do you see anything, Tranquility? And I said, no, I don't see anything, but Tom's telling me there's something there, and I don't doubt him. Tom can usually tell better than we can, and I always go by what Tom says. But sometimes it takes Tom a while before he actually reveals it, and by the time he reveals it, it's crucial by that time. Then I know, okay, we have to get help right away. So I really do appreciate everyone offering to help. It means so much to me. I'm really grateful, truly.
Well, we definitely love you guys, and we're here to help. So reach out at any time.
Thank you. The feeling's mutual, for sure. Actually, just that same week, just a few days prior, he went to visit Trisus with my son Andrew. He just felt the urge to bring some cheer to Trisus, and so that shows you how quickly it happens, how quickly things turn, and how devious Satan really is.
Yes, he is. Does anybody else have anything else to add? Okay, I met the commander of the Comfort Brigade. Her name is Ariel. So if you want to call on her, if you think somebody needs some kind of a comfort in any way, that's a completely different angel from a healing angel. This would be if somebody has a loss as far as a loved one passing away, or they're going through some kind of a divorce or some kind of affair of the heart, then you would call on Ariel, and she'll send someone to help that person. Any questions on that? Okay. Last Sunday when I was in service, a young man knelt in front of me and said he's from a realm called the realm of the persecuted. And I kind of looked at him and said, what is the gist of this realm? And he said, it's every single faith that is not Christian. He said, anybody that's been persecuted in this realm has no ability to forgive the people that persecuted them. Could you please remember us? And I said, yes, and I will tell my team. So if everyone could please pray for the realm of the persecuted. On top of the other realms that we've heard or know about, please. Our next meeting is going to be Friday, May 13th. It'll be at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I, again, will be in my truck driving down to Indianapolis to finalize Luminous's training and Aerostar's training. So I'll probably have someone else read Father's message again, and I'll conduct the meeting from my truck. So does anybody have anything they'd like to add? Then we'll pray.
I'd just like to add that Andrew just came down right now and said that Tom is really bad. He's in the fetal position. He's breathing very heavy and gagging.
Okay. Okay. Stepping in. Ask King David to step in.
Okay,
go ahead.
Can I I'll just clarify something. This morning, Tom went down to the basement while communion was being dispensed. Andrew thinks that he didn't take communion this morning. There was a little bit of a run-in between one of his sisters. So he thinks that he didn't have all the communion this morning. The evangelist went down to give it to him because he was still in the basement. But Andrew says he has a funny feeling that he never took the wafer.
All right. Maybe he can celebrate communion with him now.
Okay. Yeah. I'll tell him that.
Okay.
He just went outside for a minute, so maybe after the call, then I'll tell him that.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Does anybody have anything else?
Yeah, if I could.
Okay.
Over the past month or so, my cousin, Billy, who had cerebral palsy his entire life, actually outlived the doctor's expectations by about 10 or 12 years, finally, I guess for lack of better words, started going downhill. His health was just awful. I took the next flight I could up to Michigan to go see them and be with them. And while I was there, God and Jesus were both there holding his hands, saying that they are ready for him whenever he decides to go. And I told him that and told his family that, and they all burst into tears immediately. And he himself said that he's been wanting to hear that. And at that point, both Jophiel and Raphael were there standing guard over him, making sure that Satan could not touch him, could not come anywhere near him. And a couple weeks later, this was just a week or two ago, he finally let go. And he was immediately, he had not been baptized at that point. HS met him immediately, baptized him, and then we both walked him to Father, which was a beautiful thing because he had never walked before, and it was just, it was such an emotional moment. And I spoke with Father a little bit and asked him to please seal him as soon as possible, and he said, absolutely, I will actually make an exception, and he sealed him on Easter. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional.
It's okay.
And alongside him was actually Lauren's friend, Jess, who lives in Granville. Her mother was, her life was taken. She was shot. And shortly after, it got on the news, and the entire Waters family saw about it, being that it was so close to them. And they immediately prayed for her, and she was brought to Father, and she was also sealed on Easter.
Okay, I spoke to Father about this situation, Nuke. And because there is no time in eternity, when you saw this taking place, it hasn't happened as far as we're concerned. Because the only time that the sealings can take place is at the services for the departed. So Father was showing you that they will officially be sealed at the next service for the departed in July.
Okay.
Okay? Because that power and authority he left here on earth through the apostles. But to show you that he has every intention of doing what he said, he took care of it in front of you. But again, there's no time there. So,
in essence,
yes, they are sealed. In reality, they will be sealed, and everything's good.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, thank you for that clarification.
Sure. Anybody else? Anything? Bueller?
I do. It's Aerostar. My stepdad's brother's son recently passed away. Is actually this morning. They aren't familiar with how he passed. They'll be doing an autopsy this week. But I ask you guys to keep him in his prayers. His name was Tim.
You sure will.
And I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So the Amulet of Light that is in our training room, when we go get that, and do we put that into our heart?
You just drape it around your neck. It's like a big necklace. It's quite beautiful. It's really bingful. It's all binging and bright and shiny.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. It will enhance your sight. I know that for Blazar, he sees them like they're clear as day, but the rest of us, I don't believe, will. And what's offensive to me is, I shouldn't say offensive, what's irritating to me is they don't have any energy signature where demons do. We get that little twinge in our heart or that pain in our chest, and we know that demons are nearby. With these guys, they sneak up out of nowhere, and next thing you know, it hurts. So
yeah, they pop
we
up.
Now, yeah, they just pop up out of nowhere. So we now have the ability to see them so we can fight them off.
Typically, what I feel is a wave of energy coming when they're a mass, when it's in a mass. It has to be that when it's more of a legion, it's kind of like a sound wave that is traveling. That'll penetrate your armor. And that's why when they attack me, my skin burns. So when I'm done with an attack, I have scratches and burns all over on certain parts of my body wherever my armor's thin. So that's part of their, it's like a sonic wave when they attack you. So it's hard to confront them with a legion of angels, because what they do is they kind of push the angels away with that sonic wave that they'll do.
Okay.
So if we remember right, the shield that Stacy mentioned about the last time there was an attack, it was like a shield. I can't remember if it was a shield of hope or a shield of joy that she used to deflect that when you run into a certain attack like that.
Okay.
You know, they're not all attacking it. They don't attack the same way. But when they're in a major group, they'll attack in that form.
Thank you for the information.
Yeah.
Good to know.
No problem.
Okay, I'd like to pray with everybody, and then I ask Nuke if he would pray after me. So here we go. Father of love, we come before you and we say thank you for the grace that you have shown us, for arranging this meeting for us to share different situations and circumstances and experiences that have brought us all closer together. Sometimes, Father, it confounds us or even completely surprises us with the tactics that Satan is willing to use to try and hurt mankind. We are not surprised. We just are a little put off that he would actually have encouraged souls to work with him. But, Father, they know what their end is. We also know now, to the extreme side of everything, what we have to do to protect the bride. She is fragile and she is helpless. And we are the ones who have been charged with the responsibility to keep them safe. And we gladly accept that responsibility. So, Father, see the hearts of my teammates here. We've all been struggling at different times with certain things in our lives, monetarily, physically, and also spiritually. So I pray you will step in, Father, and provide what everyone needs. If someone is lacking something and they have it on their heart to ask you for it, I'm pleading that you will please provide it for them when the time is right. That this team knows how much they're loved by me and respected for the sacrifices that they do, for all the things that they do so selflessly on the behalf of other people, and even for the newest members who have joined our team, where perhaps they don't completely understand everything. They will in time. We will take the time to teach them all, to train them, to get them ready, so that when the announcement comes in a year from now, Father, we are ready to move forward with the congregations. We are ready to teach those around us what it is to be the bride. We will work hand in hand with the apostles to help them, Father, facilitate what is needed as far as change goes, to bring back sanctity, to bring back respect, to bring back that urgency that should burn in our hearts, that we all want to go home, that we all want to be a part of the bride. We pray for the ones whose names were mentioned this day by our guardians, for the loved ones that they have and the relatives, that they are all able to find grace, Father, and strength, that you would send comfort to the hearts of those who are still here, that they will know, Father, that in time we will see everybody again. We are not ever saying goodbye for the last time. If there is a concern that rests on anybody's heart right now, for anybody, then you know what it is. And I pray, Father, you will answer and grant what is needed. Provide your blessing now in the evening. We appreciate your grace and your love. And if there's something I've forgotten, Father, I know you'll cover it. And as always, Father, according to your will, I pray these things and ask, and know how much we love you and appreciate you. Thank you. Amen.
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 Nuke.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we were able to come together in this conference call today. So thankful that you have bound our hearts in this meeting. And we are so thankful for all that you have blessed us with. And we continually ask that you bless us as we need, and that you remind us that we do have everything that we need, and help us to not take what you have given us for granted. We ask that you help all those that are in need at the moment and all those who will need you in the future. We know that you will spread your love throughout the world and that you will continue to be in our hearts. Please send your son soon. Amen.
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 Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, Trisus. Can you stay on the call, please? Don't hang up.
Hang on, wait.
Okay.
Try.